Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the constantly changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929, and welcome to the show. Very exciting show for you today. We're going to talk about some local issues, a little personal story I have about my own experience in the credit world, which, I'll just leave it at that. And with me again today is Arby Abraman. Hi, Arby.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm just fine, thank you. As you all know, Arby is the mortgage doctor. So if you've got a prescription that needs filled, you need answers, give us a call at 888-713-2929. And our website is?
MalibuFunding.net.
Exactly. We get a lot of different calls. We have had recently an uptick in the interest in the show, so we really appreciate everybody who is listening, calling in, and of course, everybody up at KDOW who is helping us immensely putting the show together and getting it on air in some terrific times. So thanks, everybody, for helping us. Our email address is info@MalibuFunding.net, and Facebook, of course, we get a ton of, it's unbelievable how much hits we get through Facebook, Twitter, these other things. Our Facebook page is homeloans:MalibuFunding. So there's a lot of different ways to get to us. Also, you can get to us through the KDOW website, and we have the show re-aired on our own website, MalibuFunding.net. Okay, Arby, let's get right to it. What do we have in the news for people today?
Oh, it's the news. One thing, the credit card fraud.
Oh, yes. Oh, exactly right. Give him a little teaser. What do you got for the credit card fraud?
It's going up.
Exactly right. And why is it going up?
People don't have jobs.
They don't have jobs.
The job is down, so like they start doing frauds.
You know, everybody pays tax. Well, okay, I say everybody pays taxes. Let's say everybody in my listening audience pays taxes, because these are the people that are going to tune into a business news radio, and they're, well, maybe not. My producer's shaking her head. No, maybe not. Okay, so those of you that do pay taxes, you know that in the state of California, you cannot pay taxes with a check anymore without paying a 1% penalty. Is this unbelievable? 2 years ago, I sent in a check to the state of California for my own particular taxes that year. They sent me back a notification saying that I owed them money because there was a penalty. Apparently, I didn't get the notification that everything had to be paid by credit card. I'm like, what? That's insane. What happened to the what does it say on the dollar bill about paid all debts, public and private? It's printed on every bill that the United States has. So apparently the state of California is not in that particular thing. But the federal government's going towards that. Most people who pay for anything online, whether it's Amazon or a gazillion different things that you can buy online, they take nothing but credit cards. So all this information.
It's changing. It's changing all to out, going right? Electronic.
Exactly right. Everybody knows what a Bitcoin is, right? So there was a recent Supreme Court ruling. I believe it was the California Supreme Court. It's one of the two. They're trying to figure out what this Bitcoin is. And is it a real coin of the realm, meaning that can you use it for all debts, public and private? So the fight to move electronic payment throughout all areas of both the government and private industry is overwhelming.
It is.
So that's why it's imperative that you protect your own particular credit as much as possible. And then, on the other hand, if something happens, be able to resolve the situation quickly.
One of the best things people can do is LifeLock.
Exactly. You see the guy, right?
Yeah.
Here's my Social Security number. And he reads it off. Now, I don't know whether it's his Social Security number or not. But he acts as if it is. I don't know. So he uses that as an example of this is a company that will just root out a problem or find it or protect you. And I think it's cheap.
It's cheap, but again, it's not 100% guarantee.
No, nothing's 100% guarantee.
Nothing is 100%.
Hey, we see it every day, whether it's a large corporation, a bank, the federal government, a state. They're losing millions of electronic records to thieves. And we all know that China has been bombarding U.S. corporations and government agencies with cyber attacks for years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. This is the way it is. This is the way it goes. And, okay, what else you got for us?
This one caught my attention, but it's by CNN. It says deficit drops yet again.
Okay, so what does that mean to most people if they're out there trying to buy a home? you're out there trying to get a loan. What is the deficit? Tell me, what is that?
It's the debt that we owe, like, you know, how much we owe, how much money we have printed.
Do you and I owe this debt?
No.
Who owes the money?
It's combined, the whole country, like, you know, the government, the federal government.
So what happens is that the
Fed... But you're paying for it.
Oh, absolutely. And you're paying for it in higher interest rates,
although
the interest rates are so low right now. Here's how it works, okay? The deficit. Now, we hear about that, and, you know, it's like the stock market. When the stock market goes up, I feel better. Why do I feel better? I don't have a lot in the stock market. What do I care what happens to the stock market? Same thing with the national debt. Okay, the national debt is like this. There are bills that have to be paid every month by the federal government. Billions and billions, maybe trillion. What is the federal budget last year?
I think it was in 13.1
trillion?
I think so, yes. I don't want to guess the
amount. No. I think that's the GDP.
That's the GDP.
I think the national budget is about 3.5 trillion.
3.5 trillion.
Okay, so every month bills come due. So there's only two ways to pay. Either borrow the money or you print the money. So the federal government does both. They print money, but they also borrow the money. And how do they borrow the money? They have treasuries. And treasuries are the government's way to say, okay, if you buy something today for a dollar, over the term of the instrument that you buy, over a certain amount of time, we'll pay you $1.10 or $1.02 or $1.01. So when they talk about treasuries going up and down and whatever the yield is, which means how much do you actually make based on the money you paid, that's what they're actually borrowing money on to run the government. So the deficit means that you are borrowing more than you are making in taxes or fees or other things. Now, when the government gets behind too much, they end up printing money, and that's what they call inflation. And that's what we've been doing for the past since 2008. The government has been printing money. We've stopped printing money. We've stopped actually buying mortgage-backed securities through the Fed. The Fed has been buying mortgage-backed securities, and they have been buying bonds. And they have been buying bonds directly from the Treasury. So really, the government, the Fed, is buying mortgage-backed securities. Well, that stopped. And we talked about this before in what taper is.
Yes.
So this all ends. And isn't there something else in the news that talks about interest rates and where they're heading?
Well, the interest rates are falling. It's going down.
Right. And that is to stimulate growth. Now, what do I mean by that? We know that the housing market isn't as hot as it was. We know that in certain areas of the country, prices have begun to fall again. What they want to do is stimulate housing. As everybody knows, 1 in 9 people out there work in the housing industry. So in order to stimulate the economy, they have to get people to buy homes. We know that people under 30, they are more likely not to own a home. 35% of them do own homes, which means 65% of them don't own homes. Mm-hmm. So the issue there is, in order to stimulate the economy, we have to get people buying homes, we have to keep the rates low. That's what it means. So the deficit itself and how it affects you means that if the government is out there borrowing money and they have to pay a yield, which means they have to up the interest rate they're going to pay to you to buy the bonds, it gives them less opportunity to lower rates in the mortgage industry.
That's right.
So it's all fits together. It isn't simple, but pay attention, because it really does generally affect you on a daily basis, whether the deficit is going up or down, right?
That's right.
Okay, what else do you have there?
What else do we have? It says Fed Charles Evans very uncomfortable with calls to raise rates.
Okay.
He doesn't want to raise rates.
Right, and he's a guy. He's a Fed governor. I don't know where it is. How many Fed governors are there? Nine? There's nine.
Nine districts, so there's going to
be... There's nine districts.
Correct.
There's nine Fed governors. We all know about the New York one. There's one out in California, and everywhere else, I have no idea. But I don't. I mean, you know, you can't keep up with these
things. No, there's...
I was reading something. 35% of the people only know who Janet Yellen is. If I said Janet Yellen to you, you immediately say...
Of course I know her.
She's head of the Fed.
Yes.
Okay. So we've got a great show coming up for you today. I just want to keep everybody tuned in. Again, I'm Malibu Funding. Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Arby, good opening. Let's keep
Thank
it rolling.
Thank you, Jeff. Let's
okay.
do it.
Okay, excellent. Thanks. Bye.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, and I am your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. You can also get us online, www.malibufunding.net. We are also on Facebook. Matter of fact, we get a lot of connections through Facebook, social media, Twitter. Home loans, colon, Malibu Funding. And, of course, our email address is info@malibufunding.net. We are really excited today. We have a tremendous guest. Kim has been with us before. This is Kim Soash from Mountain West Financial. Mountain West Financial is a partner with Malibu Funding and from our mortgage broker side on the wholesale side, where we can help you get terrific loans using that particular company for our money. Kim, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm just fine, thank you. First, right off the bat, what do you see in the market? Are we slowing down? Are we heating up? What's happening out there?
Well, we've seen a lot of good activity. It's definitely, made the transition from a refi market to a purchase market. So we're seeing a lot of purchase activity. Seems like it's kind of ramping up. It's cooling a little bit. There's some feeling from some of the realtor contacts that I've been talking to that buyers are a little bit cautious if prices are going to continue to escalate or if they're going to level off. But it doesn't seem to have slowed down, production. So I think that people are cautious, but they're still buying.
You know what? That's interesting. We've had over the past month, 6 weeks, a lot of realtor input on the show about prices in general. Certain areas of the state of California are prices flat or maybe declining. And certainly up in the Bay Area, where we've got the show broadcasting today, as well as in Los Angeles market and in Las Vegas. And of course, the primary location for the broadcast is up in San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland. The market up there is incredibly hot, still very much in demand, properties in demand, prices are rising. But in a lot of the other parts of the state, not so much. So it's interesting to hear you say that as well. You've got your ear to the ground in a lot of different areas. Could you tell us a little bit about, I know that what we wanted to do here today is to talk about down payment assistance program. Maybe give a little overview of what that is and then be able to tell the audience how we might be able to help them getting a loan, securing funds, which aren't necessarily readily available to everybody.
Well, I'd love to talk about that, Jeff. And it's interesting. A lot of people don't even know that these funds exist.
Right.
Down payment assistance is just that. It's some assistance with either the down payment or the closing costs or even both for borrowers that might be a little bit short on funds to get qualified. It's sometimes a program that is designed just for first-time homebuyers, but it's not necessarily just for first-time homebuyers. There are programs that have down payment assistance available even if you've owned a home before or even currently own a non-owner occupied. They are designed to be for an owner occupied purchase, and it can be 3 or 5% of down payment assistance.
Wow.
Towards a home, or it could even be more depending on the area that you live in.
Let me ask you a specific question about first-time home buyers. I think a lot of our listeners would love to jump into the market. They're, like you were saying, skittish about prices continuing to rise or falling. Rates are terrific and continue to be terrific. Unemployment numbers are better, and tapering has really ended. Not ended, but the actual purchase of mortgage-backed securities and the bonds in the bond market, we're almost done with that on a federal level. For first-time home buyers, can you give me a couple of specific names of programs so that people in the audience might say, "Oh, yeah, I want to call Malibu Funding and ask these guys about this."
Well, first of all, I would want to clarify the definition of a first-time home buyer, too, because sometimes a borrower might think, I'm not going to qualify as a first-time home buyer because I've owned a home before.
Right.
Most programs, the definition of a first-time home buyer is that you haven't owned a home in the last 3 years. So maybe you owned a home 5 years ago, but you've had a divorce and you, now you are on your own, or even, you know, you owned it 5 years ago, you lost it, or sold it, or whatever the reason was. And now here we are, it's at least 3 years later, wanting to buy a home again, you would be defined as a first time home buyer.
Good.
So first time home buyer doesn't mean you've never owned a home before. You could have owned one. It just has to have been at least 3 years ago.
Okay.
Some of the programs, there's two programs that are available throughout the state of California. There's a program called CHDAP. It's C-H-D-A-P. It's CHDAP. And there's a program called Platinum. And those are not specific to any city or county in the state of California. CHDAP is a California Housing Financing Authority, and the Sapphire program is through a home buyer's fund. And those programs are available throughout the state. The CHDAP offers 3% down payment assistance, and the Sapphire program can offer 3 or 5% in down payment assistance. But depending on the city that you live in, there can be city or county specific down payment assistance available. And some of those, like the Los Angeles County has a program called LIPA, and they also have HOP. And those that can be up to $60,000 in down payment assistance.
Wow.
So you want to talk with your broker, have them contact Mountain West, certainly. We have, we're approved with over 60 down payment assistance agencies, and could let you know if the area that you're purchasing in has, you know, down payment assistance, and that would, you know, be applicable to your borrower. And some of it can even be layered and combined with other down payment assistance programs.
Well, that's awesome. So, let me ask you a quick question on that, as I interrupt you. I'm sorry about that. First of all, can I give out your office number, Kim?
Oh, sure. My office number is 818-970-4016.
Great. And Kim, again, works for Mountain West Financial, who is a wholesale partner with Malibu Funding. Certainly, our loan officers work with Kim and her company all the time. You can call Kim direct. She's just given out her particular telephone number. Our particular number here at Malibu Funding at Your Voice in the Mortgage Industry is 888-713-2929. I'm Jeff Barton, of course. And we're talking with Kim Soash at Mountain West Financial about down payment assistance programs. The down payment assistance programs, do they work with an FHA? Is it a conventional? Is it in lieu of any of your own funds into the deal? Do you have to bring additional funds? What is the total that they have to bring if they're in one of these down payment assistance programs and they want to go with FHA, let's say?
Well, you know, it's a good question, Jeff. The down payment assistance programs are each of them a little bit unique, so it kind of depends on the program that you're using.
Okay.
If you went FHA and combined it with, say, the Sapphire program, it's possible that your borrower would end up with 100% financing, because the FHA program would require the borrower to bring in 3.5% of their own funds. If they use the 5% down payment assistance, that would cover their down payment and give them a little bit of extra money to cover some of their closing costs. So it would be possible that they don't bring in any funds. Some of the programs would require that the borrower bring in $1,000 minimum contribution, or $1,500, or 1% of their own funds. It would just depend. It varies from program to program. Most of the programs are income restricted, so okay. It does mean that the borrower can't make over a certain income amount. In some areas, that income might be low, lower than. It might be like, say, for instance, Los Angeles County, it could be in the area of $78,000 that their income can't be greater.
Okay.
But in Ventura County, it would be $102,000. So,
okay.
And in San Francisco, it might be, $118,000 for a four-person household.
Wow,
so
does that tell you something about the housing market?
Not to have people be afraid that income restriction means that they probably make too much money. It's possible they make just the right amount of money to qualify for a down payment assistance loan.
Okay, so these people got to call us and let us know right away what their income requirements
yeah.
are. Obviously, these programs, there are qualifications that you have to meet. There's income qualifications. I'm sure there's other qualifications. I mean, we had a call the other day complaining that we were pushing 100% financing. Of course, that was a VA-type loan, which is 100% anyway. So, but they were angry. They were like, ah, you're promoting this, and this is what's going to ruin the country. And I go, no, I'm not promoting anything. I'm just telling you what the programs are given out by certain government agencies, like down payment assistance programs.
Well, and these programs, like I said, we're approved with over 60 over 60 down payment assistance providers all across the state of California, and so they can be combined depending on the program you use. It can be combined with conventional lending. Most all of them can be combined with FHA, VA, and USDA. So it's kind of specific to the borrower. It would be best to have the borrower call, talk to their loan officer. And then the loan officer can help to place them in the very best down payment assistance that is applicable to the area that they live in and what their specific income is.
Great, Kim. Hey, Kim, we've run out of time in the segment. I really appreciate you coming on. Once again, we'll have you back. This is a fascinating and terrific topic for a lot of different people. Thanks very much. And this has been Kim Soash from Mountain West Financial. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you, Jeff. It was great talking to you.
Thank you very much. And I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, 888-713-2929.
This is The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For questions or comments, send email to info@malibufunding.net. Don't go away. The Mortgage Voice will return in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton. I am your voice in the mortgage industry, 888-713-2929, Malibu Funding, Inc., and our website is www.malibufunding.net, and you can reach us on our Facebook page. Click in there and say you like us, okay? We'd really like that. Home loans, Malibu Funding, or our email address, info@malibufunding.net. Today, I would like to go through a couple of the volatile issues going on in the mortgage industry. What's happening with rates? What's happening with the opportunity to get a mortgage? How is this affecting your purchase or your refinance? The most important thing, however, is your ability to get a loan is really hinged upon events out of your control. And what do I mean by that? Well, get on the phone right now, get in line, and give us a call. We can help you with all kinds of mortgage questions that can be answered. And with our experience and our deep wealth of loan officers, both here in California, in Northern California, where the show is being broadcast on KDOW. I'd like to give a shout out to all those guys over there. Pat, how is everybody? Hope everybody's great. We always appreciate their hard work in putting together a great show. Today's show, let's get right to it. Off the top, I'd like to talk about credit card fraud. Now, why is this a concern for people who are getting a mortgage, people who want to buy a house, anybody? Well, reason is because, like everybody else, I've fallen victim, and it really annoys me. And I'll tell you the story quickly, but just to run through a few topics, a few headlines, a few things that maybe trip your particular imagination in terms of what happened to you. There is just so much information about credit card fraud. And then who's doing it? Why are they doing it? Obviously, why they're doing it. They need the money. They want the money. They're thieves. This is the way they do it. But how we all fall victim to it. Because probably like you, I'm very optimistic about life, about people. And I always think the best of people. Normally, when I get bombarded either by telephone calls or emails or other forms of information gathering from people, I just delete it or don't answer the call. That's just my personal way of dealing with it. However, somehow, my particular credit card, my American Express card, it was out there, is out there. So I live in a small town. I live in a small town in Southern California. The show, of course, is broadcast up in the San Francisco area, San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose. Go Giants, although I'm a go Los Angeles Dodgers guy, but either way. So I live in a small town, Southern California. And so the other day, I got a call from American Express. American Express said, okay, your credit card has been declined. Somebody has tried to access an online website and order from a local grocery store. Now, we live in a town less than 10,000 people, a small town grocery store, and I was concerned. I was like, well, you know, at first they told me it was keyed in at the register. So I went down to the store. I went to the manager. The manager didn't seem to care. They were more interested in pushing me off to some other person. So finally, I got the owner of the store, because in a small town, you can get to the owner of the store. You can't do it in a big city because there is no owner. The owner is some corporation. But here in this town, small town grocery store, I was able to get a hold of the owner. And the owner was concerned. At first, he didn't believe me. And then all of a sudden, I went through the delineation of what American Express had told me. They said to me, it was keyed in at the register for a certain amount of dollars, and it was declined because of the manual input. Now, American Express is pretty good about this. They saw that it was a keyed in, and they saw that the amount and the local store. So obviously they declined it. So I went to the store. As I said, the manager pushed me off to the owner. I talked to the owner, and we went back and forth for a little bit, and I was hot because I was like, hey, wait a second. Manual inputs at the register aren't supposed to happen. That's the number one problem when you have credit card, in-store credit card problems, is that you will find a number or somebody at the register is in cahoots with the person with the number. But it was a bizarre amount of money. It was $52. Who does credit card fraud for $52? Okay, so went through this with them, and eventually I got a number for American Express, their fraud department. And I called the next day. They told me, no, it wasn't an in-store. So obviously I made a fool of myself going down to the store. One thing, always check with the credit card department, fraud department. The initial call was from their alert department. And again, large corporations have multitude of departments. You have to continue to tell the story, continue to be calm. And of course, I'm not a calm person. As you can tell on the radio here, I got a lot of energy. And when it burns, I get more and more irritated. Maybe you're like this too. I mean, when you know you've been ripped off, you feel just so aggravated that you have to go through this entire process. Even though I didn't get charged, you're aggravated. Okay, so I'm on the phone now with the American Express fraud department. They tell me, no, it was an online purchase of this local grocery store, and that the online purchase was denied because it was a manual key-in. I don't know what their particular, maybe it was a security question, maybe it was some other avenue. But when I had talked to the lady at the store who was the manager, she told me the day before that actually someone had called in. And she said, wasn't that your wife? She said that the card was denied. I said, no. Well, doesn't your wife have an accent? And I said, no. I mean, well, I don't think so. Anyway, I've only been married to her for 25 years. No, she has no accent. She sounds like Midwestern St. Louis, which is where she's from. So, okay. So they had a phone call from the person who got denied the $52 charge on my American Express card. American Express denied it, denied the charge. And then the next day when I was on the phone with the fraud department, which was the investigative unit of the fraud department, get it? So that's the alert department, the fraud department, the investigated unit of the fraud department. So that's three departments I've spoken to already about the same continual event, which is something which is should be easy, right? I'm thinking, okay, there's an IP address. Somebody logged in to a website and tried to use a credit card that wasn't theirs. It came from someplace, and online tracking is not that difficult. All it takes is, well, whatever the technology is, I know it comes from an IP address. And the in-store person had the phone number of the person who called in to say, hey, why did my credit card get denied? And again, it's $52. Who does credit card for $52? Okay, so that part of the story being down, I said to the people at American Express, hey, can you guys give me some information? I want to file a police report. I just aggravates me. This is like something that is at the heart of what we are in America, is you find bad guys and you put them away. That's what you do. Now, of course, let's just go to the news briefly, interrupting the story. There is so much of this going on worldwide. It just boggles the mind. Here it is. Technology used in Europe would better protect U.S. shoppers. Okay, so we're talking Europe now. So I flashed through to another particular article. It talked about British credit card fraud tops $50 million. And this is by Reuters on March 22nd. British credit card fraud rose 25% to its highest level last year, and police blamed organized criminals, who use stolen money to finance drugs and pornography. Of course, what else would you do with stolen money? Okay, and here's another one. A federal grand jury today has indicted Liberty Reserve, a major digital currency company, and its top executives in what authorities billed as history's biggest ever international money laundering case. The alleged $6 billion scheme spanned the globe and involved more than 1 million users worldwide. So let's see. We've got worldwide. We've got England. Certainly in the United States, I don't think there's a person out there listening to me right now who hasn't had either some identity problems, credit card problems, somebody stole a check and used their checking account number. Okay, how does this affect everybody when they're trying to get a loan, when they're trying to buy a house? Well, of course it affects your credit, because what happens is all this stuff gets reported on your credit. And because there is no magic person out there to say you are a victim and you are the perpetrator, everybody is treated as the perpetrator, or as the person who is, you know, the responsible one. So let's go back to the store. So I asked American Express. I said, hey, look, guys, can you give me a case number? Can you give me something in writing that says that this is what happened and how it happened? You know what they told me? No, sir, we cannot give you anything in writing. You will have to deal with our attorneys in our legal department, and they will deal directly with the police. And I'm thinking, what? You've got IP address, a phone number. You know when it happened and how much it was for. You easily can put all this together in some form of evidence. So when I get out of the police department, I can fill out a police report, and at least I've done as much as I can do. And I know darn well the police aren't going to do anything for $52 credit card fraud. It's just massive, the amount of fraud that's out there. So I'm frustrated. I can't get help from American Express. And am I supposed to walk into a police department where they're going to look at me like I'm the criminal? Wow. It's just unbelievable. You have this experience out there? I'm sure you have. I'm sure you're sitting around going, yeah, that happened to me too. Or it's like when the one parent says to the other parent, you know, I remember when my kids were that age. Boy, do I hate that. I want to have empathy. I just don't want to have sympathy. I want to have people say, yeah, let's get these guys. Let's figure this out. So word of the wise out there, protect your, and we'll go through this in another section, make sure you're protecting your cards, protecting your purchases, and that you have fraud alert on all your cards. These are very important items for you to be able to protect your credit. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929.
For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@MalibuFunding.net. And stick around for more of The Mortgage Voice on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. 888-713-2929. www.malibufunding.net is our website. And of course, you can always email us, info@malibufunding.net. We get a lot of different ways that people reach us. So please make use of all of them. Give us a call, email us, or see us on Facebook. Home Loans : Malibu Funding is how you would find us. I'm very excited to have back with us today Pat Smita. Pat, how are you?
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
I'm just fine, thank you. Pat is a loan officer for Malibu Funding. And you want to tell the people up there in San Francisco, in the Bay Area, what areas that you service so that they can get a real good idea what you're talking about locally?
Yeah, no problem. I'm based out of Marin County, but I pretty much work most of Northern California, Sonoma, Marin, Sacramento, Contra Costa, Alameda, all the way down to Santa Clara County.
Okay, that's terrific. Now, we had Pat on a couple weeks ago, and the reason I had him having him back now is because the market is definitely in fall swing, and we wanted to check back locally in the area to make sure that what we're feeling in a statewide is either confirmed or it's the opposite. So, Pat, give me an understanding of how the real estate market is there and what you see as possibly in the next 90 days where it's headed.
Yeah, no problem. It's, you know, much hasn't changed since we talked a couple weeks ago.
Right.
In the San Francisco area, we're definitely seeing a slowdown.
right.
In terms of you know, properties moving and a number of days on the marketplace.
Okay.
So you're not getting the 12 to 13 offers above market that you used to, at least in San Francisco and Marin. Contra Costa County, I'm being told, is definitely flattening out before the Christmas season. And Sacramento, as far as I understand, is really starting to feel effects. So there was an interesting document out where properties were sitting anywhere between 50 to 120 days on the market, depending on your purchase price.
Yes.
So obviously anything between 1 to 300,000 was about 500, up was about 50 days.
Okay.
And anything over that $300,000 mark was just sitting anywhere between 70 to 120 days on the market, which is, as we all know, is not very good for prices.
No, it isn't. And let me ask you a question. In terms of listing, when you're out there listing a property or you're speaking to a listing agent or a buyer's agent and you're seeing this trend, what's your suggestion to sellers? Should they moderate their prices in order to move the property? Or, like most sellers, they all think the properties that they own are worth more than possibly they are in the current market. How do you advise people like that?
Well, if the property's selling and you haven't gotten any serious offers, that's the market telling you that you're overpriced.
Right.
That's just very simple. It's not that you haven't found the right buyer. It's just that your product is overpriced. My advice, and I'm a real estate agent as well. I don't really do it, but whenever I'm talking to some of these folks, especially if they're looking to buy another property, I tell them, look, you're overpriced. You have to lower your price,
right,
pricing, or maybe remove the property from the marketplace, because the longer it sits on there, the lower the price will be, because everybody's going to be saying, well, look, nobody's picking up this purchase price. Let's just wait till it goes down, and then you're going to be in a waiting game. And I promise you, the other party can wait longer than you can.
Right, and I agree with that completely. We have just in my local market, we have been marketing a property which was so grossly overpriced for so long. And the education, and I always tell particular sellers that what they need to do is continue to listen to me about the conditions in the marketplace, about what's selling, about why the house isn't selling. And it's always price, isn't it? Always price. Pat?
Well, you know, bottom line, what it really is the consumer is about 60 to 90 days behind the reality of the marketplace.
Right.
So I think what's really happening is the sellers are still thinking we're back in spring,
right,
before this slowdown really happened, when properties were still flying off the shelf. Their friends were telling them how much money they were selling their properties for.
Right.
And they don't really do market research. They do what I call friend research.
Right.
And
right.
Just because one person got something, it according to them, it applies to everything else in the marketplace.
You know,
that's kind of where I think we are.
Yeah, thank you. And to let everybody know, Pat also owns a company called Home Liberty. Home Liberty, if you just refresh the audience's mind about what this is, and let's talk about this just generally, because what you're saying in a slowdown sounds to me also that foreclosures are up and some of the other problems that we've faced recently are also on the rise. Is that true?
So the second part of your question is 100% true.
Right.
Foreclosures are on the rise. Statistically, foreclosures were up about 6% month over month.
Right.
From August to September, somewhere around $64,000 properties went to foreclosure. Additionally, foreclosure filings were up.
Is that nationally?
That is the notice of default and notice of trustee sale filings that are out there.
Right.
We're starting to see from people that have been in default for 2 or 3 years, they're actually getting their documentation now.
Okay.
So what Home Liberty does is we work with homeowners that are in negative equity, that have made the decision to walk away because they owe more than their house is worth. And Home Liberty will come in, we will buy the debt, we will restructure the debt and provide financing so that the home is priced closer to or at fair market value.
I see. And when you buy the debt, you're buying directly from the lien holder, correct? Not the actual owner.
Exactly right. So we like to say Home Liberty is agnostic on how we buy the property. If we can buy the note, we will.
That's good.
If we can buy the property at foreclosure, we will.
Right.
If we can buy it after foreclosure, we will as well.
Okay.
The one thing that we don't do is short sales, and that's what most real estate agents want you to do, because of a thing called an arm's length affidavit, which doesn't allow you to do a short sale and then sell it back to the pre-existing homeowner or their immediate family. That's actually fraud.
Right. And isn't that, not only is it fraud, but can't that debt be reattached? The old debt?
Yes, it can.
Right.
You know, what we're starting to see is a lot of real estate agents that were saying, oh, don't worry about the arm and length affidavit.
Right.
It's not a problem. These folks are now starting to be prosecuted and go to jail because that's actually considered a wire fraud.
But
more importantly, that is correct. If you defrauded the bank by doing a short sale, the debt will reattach on you, including any other criminal penalties that may be appropriate.
Right. That's why your company and your approach is to go to the lender mostly or buy it at foreclosure. At that point, you have an arm's length transaction. Is that right?
That is exactly correct.
Right.
We only do it the legal way by going to the lender and offering them, a fair price that allows us and our customer to be, in a beneficial position. Or we go to the great equalizer of all, as I like to call it, which is the foreclosure sale.
Right.
And the foreclosure sale is really meant to kind of wash away all the yuckiness of a default or negative equity and really sell that property off at the best possible price.
Okay, and in a situation like Home Liberty, like you're talking, where you acquire the property in a legal fashion through any number of ways that you can do that, you also want to keep the homeowner in the home. Is that right?
We only do the Home Liberty process if we keep the homeowner in the home. If this is a second home or an investment property, we don't do it.
Right.
We only work with owner-occupied properties or if it's somebody's primary residence.
Right.
That is correct.
Right. And so
we want to keep them in there. We're not looking for them to flip it or sell it. We want families to stay in their homes and rebuild the neighborhoods that they're living in.
Right. And I think what I like about the scenarios that you talk about in our relationship over the past few years is that you're more interested in that than making a fast buck. Now, obviously, we're all in business to do well, but at the same time, like you said, to keep a neighborhood together, to have, not neighborhood blight, which has obviously destroyed many areas. And once that starts, the entire area value goes down and then everybody starts to be underwater.
So that is correct. Now, what you're also starting to see is every one of our clients that has bought their property back and reduced their negative equity within about 48 to 96 hours, a lot of the deferred maintenance on the property that wasn't there because these homeowners weren't sure if they were going to keep the property is being upgraded anywhere from painting to doing new landscaping to actually doing roofs, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So that's the first part. The second part, just to show you how successful we have yet to have one default or one foreclosure on any of the properties that we've helped save. That's how grateful the customers are because they understand the benefit of really getting a new lease on their financial life by eliminating the negative equity that's going to haunt them, frankly, for the rest of their financial life.
Hey, Pat, that's excellent information, and I want to thank you. We've run up against the clock here, but, we'll have you back again because this program is extremely important to continue to get out to the marketplace. Thanks a lot for being on today, Pat.
Wonderful. You guys have a wonderful day.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and thanks for listening. Great show today, Arby.
Great.
Awesome.
Great.
I enjoy talking about credit, credit scores, credit card theft. I just enjoy that. I want to thank Kim and our other special guest that was on the air today. In terms of credit and in terms of credit card fraud, I think it's so prevalent in the marketplace that you can't talk enough about it. All the information is going online, obviously. It has been since it started in 95, mm-hmm. But to protect yourself or at least be aware that these things can happen, I liked your suggestion. What was the company?
LifeLock.
Yeah, I like LifeLock too. You need some kind of, and it's cheap. What is it, $100 a year?
Something like
it's,
that.
It's not think, that even that much.
I think it's like $12 or $14
a month,
depending which
program you use, whether you're platinum, bronze, or silver, whatever it is, you know how it is. Everything, and really what more protection. They're like saying, we're going to give you protection, but not great. And you can pay $4. But if you really want great, and I'm like, well, isn't your job protecting us? What's the difference?
Pay me more.
Pay me more money. That's the difference. I know. But anyway, you need a company or somebody like that to look at it. And I have friends, too, that monitor it so closely. You know, the type of people who are, you know, always really close, and they keep all their receipts, and they're really strict about who they do business with. I mean, you know, what are you going to do?
I mean, just go ahead and just type your name in Google.
Right.
There's so much information that comes out. And there was another thing saying Facebook knows more about you than you know about yourself.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And Facebook sells all your information. Now, they may aggregate it. They may collectively put it together with other information. But that information, and don't kid yourself, they make more money on that. Why do you think, what's their share start? What share of Facebook? $35, $40?
No, it's in 60s right now.
Okay, $60 a share. And you know what? It's free to join. So guess what? They're selling the information to somebody.
They know your behavior, like what you
That's
do,
what
do you search, who do you talk to, like it's.
Great. Well, we do it at Malibu Funding. Now, I must say honestly, when we use our online marketing strategies, what we try to do is pinpoint people who need certain specific loans in certain specific areas. We want to target those people, and we want to have that message of how we can help you go directly to you. I don't want to just paint a broad brush and what they call shotgun approach to let people, you know, anybody choose it. It's inefficient. It's like anything else. The more direct I can get to the person who's looking for me. I saw that movie Intern. Did you see that? The
Great
Intern?
Movie. Yeah.
Who's in that? What's the guy's name? Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for my... What's his name?
Vince Vaughn.
Yes, thank you very much. And Owen Wilson.
That was a great movie.
Now, it was a great commercial for Google. But the idea being is that, that's where we want to be. We want to be in a very targeted, direct, and pinpointed approach to what we're trying to do.
We're
going to
call ourselves Moogle.
Moogle. Who's that? That's funny. That's right. We're the Mooks of Moogle. Exactly right. Okay, so again, our phone number is 888-713-2929. The website is...
www.malibufunding.net.
And we are really excited about the program. We've been on the air now for quite a few weeks, and we plan to bring the program not only to the Bay Area, which we're getting great response, but also to other areas of the country. So our particular program and message is getting out there. We really appreciate it. Arby, appreciate you, and congratulations on your promotion.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
Arby has been promoted to VP over here at Malibu Funding. Really happy to have him with us. Thanks, Arby.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, and we'll tune in next time. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
This has been The Mortgage Voice with veteran mortgage broker Jeff Barton of Malibu Funding Incorporated. For more information, visit MalibuFunding.net, where you'll find a podcast of this program along with past programs. You can also email Jeff Barton directly at info@MalibuFunding.net. And be sure to join us again next week at this time for The Mortgage Voice.
Jeff Barton, NMLS number 7968, and Malibu Funding, Inc., NMLS number 79620, are an equal housing lender. APR and ARM interest rates and loan options are subject to change based on market conditions and borrower eligibility. Call for additional information. Other restrictions may apply. For our latest offers, contact Malibu Funding at 1-888-713-2929, or for further information, go to malibufunding.net.